Moses led.
God's gonna trouble the water.
So a few years ago, my good friends, they found themselves in the middle of a really hard breakup. See, my friends have been together since they were really young adults, and then they were middle-aged, and they realized that they just really needed to move to a different form of relationship. They had kids together. They knew that they would still be in relationship of one form or another. And they were really eager to start to move out of this thing that was obviously not working into something that would work, like where they could be better friends and better supports for each other and still family in a certain kind of way. And so they were immediately, as soon as they had figured this out, they started to move into those new forms of relationship. But see, what happened is each time they would call each other or get together for coffee or be in this new mode, what they found is they just kept running back into those old patterns. It was really painful. One day I was sitting there with these two dear friends and we were talking about how much they were struggling with this transition that they both really wanted to make. They wanted to move to this new thing, but yet for whatever reason, they just couldn't. And together we realized that actually before they could move to this new beginning, they first needed to make space for what was a really big ending. This is the natural cycle, after all, that first there is an ending and then there is a beginning. Between those two things, there's a kind of empty space or a fallow place, a liminal place between. But it's not the way we tend to think. The beginning doesn't come first. First, we start with the ending, and then we move to the beginning, which brings us here to this moment. See, I had the idea that in these weeks, these last couple weeks of August and the first couple weeks of September, that we should be exploring new starts. That was my original idea about kind of where the church would be at, because that's where we're always at this time of year. We're exploring a sense of a new beginning of a church year and another season of life continuing. But I started to talk to people about this idea of how do we be awake to all that's beginning right now? And I just kept meeting resistance, like new beginning, new start. Ugh, that sounds exhausting. Or I sure hope this isn't the start. This is just between time. This is not start time. Before we can talk about any new start, I realized we need to give space to what's ending. Just like my friends. And I don't just mean about the impact of COVID and all that may have ended through that, the result of the pandemic, but also other endings that you may have experienced and also other new beginnings that you may be longing for, but you find you just can't quite get going like my friends. It reminds me of having a new baby, right? Like for a lot of us, we want that baby with us. We're really happy to finally have the child that we've been wanting. And yet having the baby also brings a lot of adjustments. And we have a sense like, oh, well, we just need to adjust to the reality of this new reality that we're in. And along the way, we tend to forget to tend to the many things that are ending with the arrival of that new beginning. Sometimes it can be scary to name what has ended, especially when the new thing that you're moving towards is something that you really want or something you worked for. Grief can catch us off guard in these moments and make us wonder if actually we didn't really want the thing after all. But grief in response to loss is normal and good, even if there is something good on the other side. Grief in response to anything of meaning that changes is normal. and it needs its own time so that we can fully embrace the goodness of what is to come. So that's where we're going to begin today, surfacing what has ended. Now, notice as I say that, how does your body feel when I say we're going to surface what has ended? Just pay attention to where there's tension or energy or where you started breathing a little more quickly or a little more slowly. That question earlier about what helps when you're getting started, the way you are feeling right now, that will help you learn and remember the answer to the other question that's maybe even more important, which is what helps you to end. In the middle of big change moments, like this moment that we are in globally right now, it can actually be really hard to name what has ended because we're just still in the middle of so much. And so it's possible as we start to turn towards this question that you'll need to go back further in your own history. And that can be helpful. It's okay, because how we have experienced endings in the past can be really instructive, helpful for us to learn what will help us now. So my invitation is to make space for all of those endings, to surface all of them, and also to make space here to surface the more immediate endings. Things that have ended over this year, 2020, or over this season, or over this week. Don't worry about how big or small the ending might be. Let's just take some time to surface what comes up. So here's where you're gonna need the paper. Take a moment now, just pull out the paper and the thing you're gonna write with, and write at the top of the paper, these are the things that have ended. And then start making a list. Just whatever comes to your mind. Maybe it's a relationship or a few relationships. Maybe it's your free time. Maybe it's your sense of ease in moving through the world. Maybe it's a job you loved or a job you hated. Maybe it's something your body can't do anymore. Whatever comes to mind, any of the endings. We're gonna give you some time now to list these endings, and we're gonna offer some music while you surface just everything that can come to mind. There's no wrong answer. From that list, I want you to pick five that just stand out to you. They don't have to be the biggest five, but just the five that feel the most present for and no reason necessary. And then once you have, you can have less than five, but up to five. For each of those five, I want you to pick up one of those objects that you went and found. And just so pick up the object. And then say to yourself in your mind, or you can even say it out loud, the ending that you're recognizing with that object. And then do that again for the next. Repeat all the way till you get to five, till you have all five objects in your hand. Just put all the items in your hand, even if it's a little awkward, just feel them all there. Okay, so we'll give you a second to do that. The endings. Just hold them all there. And then notice right there how your body is feeling. Just notice your body. Notice your breath. And then notice the emotion you are having. Like, make space for whatever is there, whatever emotion is coming up right now. Sorrow, relief, anger, terror, confusion, avoidance, grief. Make space for it all. Notice where the love is too. Feel all of these feelings, make space for them in your body and your heart. Pay attention to all that has ended. Honor all that has ended. I'm going to ask you to just keep holding on to your objects. If you're able, hold on to the endings that those things represent. And as you do, Reverend Elaine is going to offer us a prayer for all that is ending.
In our body, in our breath, and our heartbeat, we know that life happens in sacred cycles. Endings and beginnings and endings again. And in this cosmic mathematics, nothing new begins without an ending. In this loving community this morning, we honor the endings in our lives. Whether they are current or long past, the breakups, the deaths, the moves, the job changes, the illness, the loss of trust, the disappointments, the shifts in identity. As we name and open our hearts to these endings, may we have compassion for ourselves and for each other. Compassion for our grieving hearts. Compassion for the discomfort of feeling dislocated or out at sea. Compassion for the part of ourselves that just wants to get past this, to move on already. Deeper down, we know better. We know that by honoring our endings, we clear the ground for new life to take root. Even and perhaps especially in this time when things keep falling apart, in these months that have felt like a torrent of endings, may we trust that life will find a way. New growth and new wholeness will emerge, often in surprising places, and love will continue to knock at our door. May we have the courage to live into our endings so that we may create a habitat hospitable to the beginnings that are waiting to take root later down the road. May it be so, and amen.
Thank you, Elaine. We invite you to set down your objects now, keeping your whole list in view, and put the objects around you. And then let's sing together once. So last week, when she described the difference between hospital chaplaincy and congregational ministry, you might remember Elaine said that in the hospital, you don't really get to know people or have sustained relationships in the same ways that you can in a congregation. Now, that's mostly true, of course, but there are a few exceptions.
My exception when I worked in the hospital was a woman whose husband was in the ICU for the second time that summer. He'd had cancer and then mostly recovered. But then there was one complication after another. It sent them both back to the hospital for various reasons. Again and again, he'd get better. He'd get really worse, back and forth, over and over. She never once thought that it was entirely over. It was just taking a while. Until one afternoon, I was sitting with her and he was intubated again. And she was just exhausted. And the words, they just like tumbled out. "Is this it? Is this the end?" she asked. It's the thing about endings. Like I said before, a lot of times we can't really see them or know if it really is the end until much later. We can't see them or we don't want to see them, often because our sense of identity is caught up in what has been, what was. Endings can signal not just a transition in circumstances, but a transition in who we are. An ending not just out there, but something ending in here, in us too. After my patient let that question spill out, she told me immediately how badly she felt because she knew that at least a part of her wanted the answer to be yes. Yes, this would be the end. But what would that mean about who she was, like as a wife or as a person? What would it mean about who her husband was to her? Her question signaled that regardless of what was happened in this moment and her husband's health, something had already shifted. Something had already changed. Maybe something had even ended. Something about her. In his classic work on transitions, William Bridges talks about how people tend to take endings either too seriously or not seriously enough, because we tend to confuse endings with finality, you know, so that any sort of talk about something being over might mean that everything is over. We see them without sequel, he writes, forgetting that they are the first phase of a transition process and a precondition of self-renewal. And because they scare us, we try to avoid them. And in avoiding them, we avoid opening our hearts to the new beginning that we long for and that life continues to offer us each day, each hour, each breath. When it came time, as I was making that video for you, I decided I should do the exercise myself, make my own list of things that have ended. And then, to be honest, I really struggled. I don't know how it was for you, but it was really hard for me. Like my patient in the hospital, I found that I was actually really unsure which parts of my life are just like a step in a road to recovery, or if Is this the end? I mean, will we go back to life as it was last January before COVID? Which parts of life have ended? Which are just sort of suspended? As a minister and as a mom, these two main roles of my life, it is a question that I face every day in both small and big ways. Both school and church life, after all, have been turned totally upside down in the pandemic. So lots has changed. But what parts of that has ended? Like Bridges predicts, I can get stuck trying to answer this question as a matter of finality. Like, what's entirely over? What's done forever? Not only does this stump me because I don't obviously have enough information to know, but along the way, my identity gets triggered too. I don't know really who I am if life as it was is over. And I say that kind of flippantly, but it's actually really terrifying to consider. It can shut me down, immobilize me, and also blind me to the new beginnings of the day and the hour and the breath that I was affirming just a few moments ago. What helps in this big change and in all of life's changes is to remember that we don't have to answer as if we're trying to figure out the end. We just need to notice what's ending right now. What's ending today? Because things are always ending all the time. The day begins only after it has ended. The breath in follows the breath out. And being in tune with this natural cycle doesn't necessarily make the endings as they come easier, or maybe even doesn't even necessarily make them less painful, but it does allow us to keep our hearts open so that we don't miss the beginning that is emerging too. The healing, the growth, the creativity, the beauty, the life. To make an ending is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from. Let's sing together once more. Christopher has made another beautiful visual meditation to go with this song that affirms that greater truth that surrounds us and holds us through all of life's endings and beginnings and everything in between.